Good morning. Good to see you all here this morning. I'm just getting set up here. I noticed Rob must have been here lately. There's a toothpick laying up here. Anyway, good to see you all here this morning. Got a few people at Faith Walkers. I think they're still coming back today, probably. So anyway, glad to see you here. We're going to talk about pursuit of happiness. And it's 2016, right? It's the first Sunday of 2016. That's I have to get used to saying that. You don't know, this time of year you have to stop and think when you're writing a date. No, oh, new year, 2016. Got to remember to write that. But 240 years ago was the beginning of this country, right? 1776. 240 years ago. And when you hear pursuit of happiness, it's kind of funny. Many people think of a movie. I wasn't going to mention it, but so many people have said, oh, are you going to talk about that movie, Pursuit of Happiness? I wasn't going to. And I'm not going to anymore. But it's the Declaration of Independence. The pursuit of happiness was one of those things in it. And so for 240 years, we have enjoyed the right to pursue happiness in our country. It's right there in the Declaration that we have that inalienable right to life, liberty, and to pursue happiness. So hundreds of millions of people have enjoyed that that right. And I was thinking about this, and I thought, how are we doing on that? How are we doing on widespread happiness? We've got millions of people have been pursuing it. Lots of smart people, lots of creative people. So how are we doing? Are people enjoying that sense of well-being that we think of as happiness? When we think of happy, think of that, I feel well-being, I feel good, I feel satisfied, I feel content. And I think you might agree with me that there might be a problem with happiness, widespread happiness in our country. So what's it feel like? You know, happy can be kind of, I'm happy in the moment. You know, I just had a great meal, made me happy. I saw a good movie, made me happy. Or we can be happy with our life, kind of the overall, I'm satisfied, I'm happy with my situation, happy with where I'm at. It's that, I think we all can define it. It's we know how it feels. It might not be easy to put it into words, but we're satisfied, we're content. We all have different things that make us happy. You want to get that next slide? For me, I can remember, you can't buy it, but you can buy a bike, and that brings you pretty close. And you can fill in whatever you want in that blank. But for me, I can remember the first time I was riding a bicycle without anybody hanging on to me. I'm 5 years old. My cousin Chuck was holding on to the back of this little brown bicycle, and he was running along, hanging on to the back of the seat. Those of you parents know how that feels, you know, you're bent over like that. He's running along beside me, and then all of a sudden I realized Chuck wasn't hanging on anymore, and I was on my own riding down the sidewalk, and I wasn't falling over. Shortly I did, but I can still remember that feeling, and I haven't gotten over it yet. I don't know why. But that, bikes make me happy. I love to ride bikes. And if you looked in my basement, you'd see I've got bikes. In my garage, other places. So we all have different things that make us happy. That's what, and when I think of riding a bicycle, we ride down the bike trail frequently in the summertime. And we'll be riding down the bike trail on a beautiful summer evening, and you'll meet somebody coming the other way, and they have this awful scowl on their face. I think, what in the world? You're riding a bicycle and it's a beautiful summer evening. What could you scowl about? There's nothing to be unhappy about. It just makes me happy. But you have your things that make you happy. And I think you'd agree. We all want to be happy. We all want to be happy. That's a basic desire that we have. We want to enjoy that feeling. There's a persistent and perpetual pursuit for happiness built into us. We are prone to this. It's in our nature. We want to be happy, and we will pursue it. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that pursuit. And we're going to talk about that pursuit. We're going to talk about maybe some pitfalls in that pursuit and go from there. So let's pray, commit this time to God's leading, and then we'll get into it. Father, thank you that you made us. Thank you that you know us through and through. And thank you, God, that we can look in your word. Thank you that we can observe. We can see what you've made, and we can see how you've made us, and help us learn today. I pray that you'd be here and teaching us and instructing us and encouraging us and directing us. Amen. So where do we look for happiness? Where do we go? What kinds of things do we pursue? First thing that I thought of is experiences. We pursue happiness or satisfaction through experiences, through trips, through gatherings, through maybe concerts, those kinds of experiences that satisfy us or that give us that good feeling of happiness. And we also tend to pursue happiness through things, through possessions, things that we can hold, things that we can possess, we can own. And just having come through the Christmas season, many of us gave and received gifts, right? I mean, that's a big part of our many of our Christmases. And as you're shopping for a Christmas present, your intention, typically, it may be a sense of obligation, but I think, give us the benefit of the doubt, it's we want to make that person, the receiver, happy. As you shop, you think, man, this is going to make her so happy, or she'll enjoy returning it and getting something she really likes. But we are intent on making that person happy. And then also there's the joy in giving. I mean, there's happiness in seeing those that you gift open it and appreciate it. That, there's a pleasure and there's a happiness that comes from giving as well. So Christmas is a time for great potential happiness. In fact, I checked out the statistics, and I couldn't believe this, but in the United States, during the Christmas season, it's something in the order of $600 billion are spent. That's a lot of money. That should buy a lot of happiness. We should be ecstatic. The whole country should just be woo, because all this thought went into these gifts, and all this money went into these gifts. So possessions, we often think that, and we pursue things, and there's good things to enjoy, and they do make us happy, and that's good. Another area we pursue happiness in is in relationships. We pursue happiness in relationships with friends. We sometimes think we'd be happier if I had more friends, or if my friends were better looking, or if my friends were smarter, or we might think, boy, I'd be happy if my kids appreciated me more. If you're not married, you think, I'd be happy if I'm married. Boy, I would be so happy if I could get married. If we are married, we often look to that person to make us happy. We try to get happiness from that person. And there's some, as those of you that are married, that may lead to some pitfalls. We can talk about that. You know, the idea of, you know, wanting to maybe be married if you're not, and that happily ever after, you know, like in the fairy tales, they say, and they lived happily ever after. They must have never gotten the flu in the fairy tales. Or any of the other things that cause us difficulty in life. They just lived happily ever after. Hard to believe. So this pursuit is continual. I think you'd acknowledge that. I think it's true. We can say that pursuit of happiness it goes on and on. I don't think for most of us we get to a point and we say, "Gee, I'm happy and I'm still happy and tomorrow I'll be happy." And there's always that looking, always that pursuit. Our circumstances a little bit pursuing some different things. And it's if only this, if only that. It's just an incessant pursuit. And we think, well, we deserve it. I deserve to be happy. I'm a good person. I deserve to be. I'm an American. It's right there in the Declaration of Independence. I have a right to be happy. And it's possible. We are oftentimes eternal optimists. I should be happy. It's possible. I can arrive at a point where I'm just happy. And yet, a Gallup poll recently taken says 60% of Americans are happy with their life. That's more than half, but then there's 40% that aren't. And if you asked them in the next month, maybe it'd be a different 60%. I don't know. So we think this incessant pursuit, we think we should be happy. We think it's possible, and so we pursue it. We make another change. We change jobs, maybe. We change houses. We maybe change cars. We think, man, I would be happier with a different car. You know, it would get me somewhere different. No, we think we'd be happier, and we pursue it incessantly. We change, and we look for that thing or that experience or that relationship that's going to make us happy. And if we find that we can't always be consistently happy, and we look around us, and we think, those other people look like they're happy, look like they're satisfied. Maybe it's something wrong with me. I'll do the next best thing. I'll put on a happy face. I'll look happy. If I can't be happy, I'll look happy. And so we can tend to put up a front of happiness. That, oh yeah, things are great. I knew growing up there was a man that our family's acquainted with, and he was a good man. He was a Christian man. And yet, every time you asked him, hey, how you doing? Great. He was always great. Really? Always great. Life wasn't always great for this guy, but that's the answer he gave, and he was sticking to it. And so we can do that. We can put up that happy face and think we can put that up, and we'll put on a happy face, we'll be happy. So consistent happiness in the face of life's ups and downs is elusive. Would you agree? It's elusive. It's hard to hang on to. It's hard to get a grasp of. So I think we can agree there's pitfalls to happiness. There's things that cause our happiness to slip away or to fade or to be just out of reach. Life doesn't always cooperate with my happiness. The things that make me happy, life doesn't always. It's not. The universe isn't organized to keep me happy, and so things happen. Things go on that I can't always be happy, and that's true for every one of us. Things happen. We have that recurrent experience. Also, there's something that you think. Boy, I would be happy, let's say a car. You know, you see a car and you think, yeah, my car's getting kind of old and that one really would, I think that would be a better move. And so you think, boy, I'm going to be happy when I get that car. I will be happy. And so you plan and and then you get it. And then after a month or 2 months or 6 months, it's just your car. And it's like, I don't feel quite like I thought I was going to feel. Or there's just any number of things. We think, yeah, if I accomplish that or if I get there, then I'm going to be happy. Then I'm going to be satisfied. Then I'm going to have that pleasurable sense of contentment. And yet, it seems to be that it wasn't quite what you hoped. It wasn't quite what you expected. And that can be in big and small things. Why is that? Why is that? It's I don't think it's just me, but oftentimes there's a sense of disappointment. Like, that isn't quite what I'd hoped it was going to be. Life isn't quite what I hoped it would be. And so we have this disappointment. What we hope for doesn't satisfy like we thought. There's a couple of verses In Ecclesiastes, that's a book in the Old Testament, an ancient book. And the next slide, and there's a verse there. It says, those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that money will bring true wealth. I mean, that wealth will bring true happiness. You know, we think that. It's almost unavoidable to think, boy, if I had more, I'd be more happy. And yet it doesn't. In Luke 12, Jesus was on the earth going about teaching, and a man came up and it was in the crowd, and he said, Jesus, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. So tell my brother to divide what our parents have with me. And Jesus warned him. He said, even in abundance, or your life doesn't consist of your possessions. He was warning that guy, even if you got the whole inheritance, that wouldn't be your life. You think it might be, but it's not. Because even in abundance doesn't consist in your possessions. And then in Proverbs 27:20, it says, can we get that next slide up? It says, just as death and destruction are never satisfied, so human desire is never satisfied. There's another version says that the eyes of man are never satisfied. And so these ancient writers, these were written hundreds of thousands of years ago. They knew what it was like to be me. They knew what it was like to be you. They had the same experience, that things, and the things they hoped that were going to make them happy, didn't. There was this elusive nature of happiness. So I believe not only from these words that we see in the Bible, but also from my own experience, that I will not, you will not be consistently happy through the days of your life if you look to your circumstances to make you happy, to make and keep you happy. I'll say that again. I don't think you or I will be consistently happy throughout life's ups and downs if we look to our circumstances, because our circumstances go up and down. It just won't happen. You can wish, you can choose to be happy, you can hope, you can adjust your circumstances, you can keep changing things to make it, but life will continue to leave you wanting and wishing. I believe that's just the nature of of our experience. And our circumstances are tenuous. They can change in a moment. Another pitfall of that pursuit is that my pursuit of happiness often collides with your pursuit of happiness. This evening, the Packers are playing the Vikings, right? Are there any Vikings fans in the room? Okay, so there goes that illustration. Yeah, the bouncers were working this morning. They kept the Vikings. Okay, Bob's going to admit to being here. So Vikings fans and Packer fans can't both be happy at 10 o'clock tonight. They can't both be happy. It's just impossible. And so our happiness collides with each other. It's true for weather. You know, some people like it hot, some people like it cold. Farmers need rain. You're going on a picnic, you don't want it to rain. Our happiness collides with each other's. When you apply for a job, somebody gets a job, somebody doesn't. When I first graduated from college, a friend I went to school with and I were both invited to apply for the same job. They interviewed the two of us. That was it. Rich got the job. I didn't. We couldn't both get the job. And so our happiness is sometimes collides with each other's, and so that we can't all be happy. Happiness can also sometimes have come at some cost to myself in consequences and things. Often there's kind of a dark underside to our happiness. We make choices, possibly, where, you know, we might have a standard of behavior that we believe we hold ourselves to, but if it comes right down to it, gee, if it's my happiness or honesty, will I take my happiness or will I be honest? If it comes down to, will I choose my happiness over your good? Sometimes we choose wrong, and that can be that our happiness can come at some cost. It can have negative effect on relationships. Sometimes we might say things we think are pretty funny at the time that can be hurtful. You know, so sometimes happiness has that kind of that dark underside. If we raise the pursuit of happiness and to the level of purpose. So, for instance, if I, you know, I enjoy riding a bicycle. If I raise that to, that's my purpose in life. That's what I was made for. That's why I'm here. And there was years ago. I remember. I don't see them lately, but there were T-shirts. You know, it said things like, "Soccer is life. The rest is just details." Really, soccer is life, or biking is life. I think you'll agree with me that only goes so far, and that's not something that this should define our life. And so oftentimes the root of this incessant desire, this incessant pursuit for happiness is if this life is all we have to hope for, if this life on earth, this 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years that we get is it, then we will be incessant in our pursuit of happiness, because if I'm not happy now, if I'm not happy in this 60, 70, 80 years, that's my one shot. That's it. And so we pursue it. We pursue it. So the Bible doesn't give instructions how to find my personal happiness, I don't believe. And we're going to talk about a little bit more about that next week. But it doesn't give us the five steps to how you can be happy. How you can be happy. Oftentimes, in fact, if you look at the words, you know, happy's not in the Bible a lot, but rejoice, be glad, things like that are. And oftentimes it's in relationship to difficult times or into relation to appreciating what God is doing. And so it's not an instruction book for my happiness, but rather something different. And what is it? As I looked into that, I thought, this pursuit of happiness. So if the Bible doesn't give me instructions how I can be happy, well, what am I to pursue? And I believe that the pursuit of happiness is the wrong pursuit. It's in our Declaration of Independence, but it's not what we're put here for. It's not what we're designed for, to pursue our own happiness. In 1 Timothy 6, Paul is writing to this young man, Timothy, and he's writing about how he's recommending that Timothy instruct some folks that are intent on being rich and intent on wealth. And oftentimes, like we've mentioned, we can see that wealth might be our key to happiness, might be the opportunity to get what makes us happy or to live in a way that makes us happy. And so Paul is telling Timothy, warn these folks that all kinds of trouble can come from pursuing wealth as your main goal. He says, but here in verse 11, it says, but you, man of God, he's speaking to Timothy, flee from all this and pursue. There's that word, pursue. So he's about to tell Timothy what to pursue. He says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. He doesn't say pursue happiness. He says pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. What does it mean to pursue these things? What does it mean to pursue? Pursue is an active activity. Pursue is an active, focused, intentional effort to obtain something or lay hold of it, to get a hold of it and get it. And that's what he's telling you. Pursue these things. Pursue righteousness. Pursue godliness. Pursue faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. He's not instructing Timothy to have a casual acknowledgement. Yeah, God's out there. God has plans for me. The whole, you know, what would Jesus do? You know, kind of nonchalant. He's saying pursue it. So desire it more than these other things. So I had, as I read this, I had to think, do I desire righteousness? Do I desire that life be lived and life go the way God would have it go more than I desire my own happiness? Do I desire love more than I desire my own happiness? In other words, am I more intent on someone else's good than me being happy? And that's a challenging thing. That's a challenging thing to think that rather than pursuing what makes me happy, pursue these things, pursue God, pursue Him. See, one of these that comes to my mind is endurance. Pursue endurance. Endurance isn't a word I associate with happiness. Right? I mean, those two are kind of, because you don't have to endure to be happy, right? Happy, you're just happy. Endurance, mean that implies something that might be difficult. That implies something that might be unpleasant. That implies something that might take a little bit of tough, like Rob was talking last week, tough, being tough, and just persisting and keeping up, keep going. And yet, here it is, on the thing, list of things that Paul's telling Timothy to pursue, pursue endurance, keep going. You know, life, oftentimes we think, well, and it's true, life goes by quickly. I think as life goes on, you look back and go, wow, time just flies, and it goes faster, I think. And yet, there's a lot of days in our lives. By God's grace, there's a lot of days. And there's lots of ways to tune out and to give it up, to bail out. We can leave this pursuit of God. There's a lot of ways to leave it, just to kind of start to coast or choose other paths. There's many opportunities to bail out. And yet, that's why he says, pursue endurance. Keep going. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't quit. Gentleness. I really like the fact that gentleness is on that list. It's all these things, you know, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Pursue gentleness. What a picture. You know, that we would pursue, be intentional about being gentle, about being careful for others. Our son Peter and his wife just had a little baby. And Peter, those of you that know him, he's a kind of a quiet guy. And I guess I wouldn't have described him in the first few words as, well, he's real gentle. But when I see him handling his little guy, Levi, he is so gentle. He's so gentle. He picks him up and makes him do funny things. But he's gentle with that little guy. He's gentle. There's a gentleness. And that's what Paul's telling Timothy. Be gentle with others. Be kind towards them. And pursue that. Take actively focused pursuit of these things. And that is where we should be pursuing rather than our own happiness, I believe. And then there's one other place in Psalm 16. It's a great psalm. I just want to wrap up with this. Towards the end of Psalm 16, starting in verse 8, I will keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, my body also will rest secure. That verse 9, that's just a picture of happy. That's a description of happy. Therefore, my heart is glad. That's what we long for. That's what we want. We want to be happy. We want our heart to be glad. My tongue rejoices. When our heart is glad, our tongue speaks of that. Our heart rejoices. my body also will rest secure. It's good for our body when we're happy. Happiness is good for our body. And here it says, I'll keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him in my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, so it's keeping God at our right hand, being followed, pursuing him, that will lead to a glad heart and a rejoicing tongue. Then jumping down to verse 11, it says, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. That's what we desire. That's what we were made for. That's what we will benefit from pursuing that closeness with God, that connection with him. So we're prone, just to wrap it up, we're prone to this perpetual, persistent pursuit of happiness. We want to be happy. We're looking for that happy life. And for a variety of reasons, happiness is elusive. It sometimes seems it's just out of our grip, out of our grasp. We're trying to get a hold of it, and we keep coming up short. But that pursuit of happiness is the wrong pursuit. The pursuit of God and his righteousness, his godliness, is the pursuit that will lead to that satisfaction. Consistent happiness that persists in all circumstances, in all seasons of life, that's genuine, and without that dark underside, without the disappointment, comes through a pursuit of God and his righteousness. So next week, we're going to talk a little more about this pursuit. And really, we want to ask the question, does God want me to be happy? And how do we find satisfaction? How do we find that happiness that God wants us to have? So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you say that by drawing close to you, we can be happy, and that satisfaction lies with you. Not always in our circumstances, not always in our things, not always in our friends, our family, but in you. And we want to believe that. We want to hold on to that. We want to pursue that. We want to actively seek to grab a hold of that and embrace it. Help us do that. Help us value you and desire you more and more. Amen.